You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Monday, August 23rd, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. Every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. This is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins. They had a really tough weekend in New York. Sunday's game was canceled, tropical storm. Hope everyone out east is safe. And the Twins were not. I mean, they got crushed in this series by the Yankees, and it was humbling, certainly was the word. Going in, Yankees very hot. Twins playing good baseball, too. Four straight series wins. We're going to talk about this series a little bit today, and then we're going to have an accountability Monday. Going to hold some guys accountable, look at the numbers on the year, and see if it matches up. We know that the pitching's been bad, but I want to look at the numbers for the individuals, because I think sometimes you get through the day-to-day and there are good performances, there are good stretches, but I want to look on August 23rd with about a month and change to go, how guys have performed for now. I think it's 5/6 of this season, or at least over 75%. How have guys performed? We're going to look at that. Have they performed up to what we expected this year? Because I think what you're going to find is a lot of them have not overall on the roster. So we'll look at that offensively and in the staff and in the bullpen. But Thursday's game, John Gant starts, looked really good early. Again, I mean, I think that it's very obvious that John Gant's a reliever. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. I think John Gant's exact role, if he's on the Twins next year and he's arbitration eligible, his exact role is going to be, you have multiple right-handers coming up. Like, I think he'd be a good sixth inning guy. You're getting through a lineup maybe a third time, and it's like Judge, Voit, and Stanton, for example, on the Yankees. You're getting through a lineup where it's like Abreu, Eloy Jimenez, and Yoan Moncada, a switch hitter. You would bring in Gant for that inning. I think like a sixth inning role against mostly right-handers. He's got a good cutter. The fastball plays up. He's not a starter. He wants to start. He's not a starter. He's been a much better reliever really throughout his career, and especially this season. The walks is just too much, and frankly, I don't think he has the stuff to get lefties out consistently either. So I think a good role for him, I know we use Matt Whistler as an example a lot, but Sergio Romo's a higher-end example of that, of how the Twins used him in 2019 and 2020. Mostly righty, facing mostly righties. Sergio was in a higher leverage than Whistler, and Whistler eventually got kind of promoted to high leverage but didn't pitch at all in the playoffs. That's Gant's role, I think. Like, mostly facing righties out of the bullpen. I don't think there's anything more to him than that. And I'm not surprised that he did well early on, because that's like the role I'm talking about. You know, you face LeMahieu, you face Judge, you face Stanton. He did well a couple times through. And then just eventually they got to him, as has happened a lot to him this year. And he's gotten out of a lot of jams, but he couldn't get out of the jam on Thursday. Multiple jams. Jorge Polanco, 3-for-4, 3 ribbies. Kind of dunked in some singles, dunked in a double down the line. Twins battled in this game. They went down 6-0, ended up losing 7-5. So good to see him battle, but this game was over before it started, much like Friday's game was. Charlie Barnes, I've talked about him. He's not a major league starter. He's not going to be part of the future for the Twins. I like him. You know, stuff is okay, but he shouldn't pitch for the Twins again. And he's going to, because they need rotation help. And Kenta Maeda was injured in Saturday's game. So, you know, Barnes is going to get another start. But when you have a lefty who throws like 89-90 with a fastball and doesn't really have that good of off-speed stuff, and then doesn't have command on top of it, like walking the bases full as a soft-tossing lefty at Yankee Stadium against a righty-heavy lineup, that's just a complete equation for disaster. And I know Nick Nelson tweeted, like, it's going as expected. It went as expected. I don't think Charlie Barnes has the stuff or the command to stick in a major league rotation. I've made that very clear, and I think there are other guys, Joe Ryan being one of them, who should get starts over Charlie Barnes. But the Twins are so desperate for innings right now, with their rotation just decimated, that Barnes is the guy who they're going to look at. If he can have better, I mean, I'm not saying you can't succeed throwing 89-90 as a lefty in the big leagues with decent off-speed stuff, But you can't do it if you can't command the fringes of the zone. And he just can't do it. Like, we've seen him do it for periods in his time with the Twins and I think a little bit in St. Paul, but not consistently enough where you feel confident with him every fifth day. He's got an ERA over 6 now for the Twins. Twins get blown out on Friday. Worst possible matchup, Barnes against that Yankee lineup at Yankee Stadium. Saturday, Gerrit Cole and Kenta Maeda facing off. I was hoping Cole and Maeda wouldn't match up because the Twins have their best chance to win when Kenta's on the mound. And Gerrit Cole's an ace. He's just too tough. I mean, he gets out of a bases loaded, one out jam, gets Polanco to strike out, strikes out Donaldson. Kenta was really good through 4, getting a lot of swings and misses. Slider looked sharp. Splitter was good. He was commanding the ball really well, and then he just fell apart in the 5th. And then now he's going to miss extended time with a forearm injury. I fully expect Kenta Maeda to be shut down probably for the rest of the season. I mean, you already saw his velocity down. He just hasn't been the same this year, and I think you're going to see him shut down, unfortunately. Forearm never good. Rocco made it sound like, yeah, I just wouldn't expect to see Kenta Maeda again this season. And it was just it was an up and down year for him. We're going to look at that today and look at what happened with him and his season. But overall, just really disappointing. I mean, it sucks. He wasn't healthy. He didn't pitch very well early. It didn't matter when he did pitch well because the Twins were already out of it. And it just wasn't a good year for Kenta if that's it for him. I'm not saying that it's done. I expect him to be shut down because of Baldelli's quote and because I mean, it's a forearm injury and a lost season. He's under contract for 2 more years. I don't understand why you would push him at this point. So I do expect him to be shut down. Let's look at the rotation now that Kenta's out. Pineda's out, Barrios is traded, Shoemaker and Happ are gone. What are we looking at now for the last month and change of the season? Let's talk about it after the break. I share a bed with a Pro Bowl quarterback, an Olympic swimmer, and a national women's soccer star. I should explain. When I heard how many athletes sleep on a molecule mattress and call it their best sleep ever, I ordered one for myself, and they are spot on. I'm no elite athlete. You know, I do play a little basketball. And some nights can't sleep super well, but Molecule Sleep scientists literally created the world's most perfect mattress. It's unlike any other mattress in a box. It's cool to the touch, not like other foam mattresses. It has 6 times the airflow of my old mattress, so it keeps me cool all night. And Molecule Mattress is how elite athletes and me get the best sleep ever. Sleep on your Molecule mattress risk-free for 100 nights. If you don't have your deepest, most restorative sleep ever, return it. Visit onmolecule.com and save 20% with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at onmolecule.com. So your opening day rotation, Kenta Maeda, Jose Barrios, Michael Pineda, Matt Shoemaker, and Jay Happ, a rotation that I thought was really solid coming into this year, a rotation that I hoped would stay healthy and intact to this point in late August, has turned into 3 rookies in Bailey Ober, Griffin Jacks, and Charlie Barnes. 3, I might add, you know, pitching prospects that were not highly touted. Ober, great numbers in the minors. Like B, C level pitching prospects, Ober, Jacks, and Barnes. John Gant traded for, Jay Happ traded for John Gant, and then Andrew Albers is, I would say, in the rotation at this point because they don't have anyone else. And Andrew Albers on his 3rd stint with the Twins, career minor leaguer. So it went from Maeda, Barrios, Pineda, Shoemaker, Happ to Ober, Jacks, Gant, Barnes, and Albers in August. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's really a turnover that I would never see coming. And sadly, I mean, I think Bailey Ober's good. I think he's good right now, and I think he's going to be good in the future for the Twins. Jacks, the jury's still out on him, going through like 4 or 5 innings in a game. Like I said, Gant's a reliever. Charlie Barnes is not a major league starter, and Andrew Albers has proven that he's not really either. Twins are at Boston this week at Fenway. That's a disastrous matchup. Then they play Milwaukee. Not a good matchup either. They're at Tampa later on, and then they're at Toronto, and then they play Toronto at home, the best offense in baseball. So this could get really ugly really fast. And the Twins have played good baseball, and I don't want like the 4 series wins where I was talking up on them, saying this is the best they've played all year. It was. And they were doing that with a rotation that was decimated as well. At that point, Kenta helped, certainly, I mean, in both of those series. But I just think this is going to get ugly really fast for them, unfortunately. I think, you know, Buxton's coming back, which is great. And I think he's going to make an impact, as he always does when he's on the field. But this rotation is just in shambles. The bullpen you've seen now, like Ralph Garza Jr., Edgar Garcia, guys like that are starting to come back down to earth. Juan Minaya a little bit too. There's 38 games left. I mean, they're going to be able to get through it, and they're going to find guys to fill those innings. But it's really crazy how much this has changed since opening day. And now you're seeing three rookies in the rotation along with Gant and Albers, guys who weren't really – I don't think Albers was in the organization until earlier this season. So it's wild how it's changed. It's changed so much with the way that this season has gone. And Twins look ahead to Fenway. But let's do a little bit of accountability stuff here. Looking at the lineup, and then we're going to look at the rotation in the bullpen. As we think about 2022 and we think about how this season has transpired, and what made me do this is I'm reading Nick Nelson's Week in Review. You should go read it at twinsdaily.com. Thinking about Max Kepler, and he's talking about Kepler. And I think sometimes with Max, because he is a fan favorite, because he was such a spark plug for them in 2019 and really led their offense in a lot of ways with Nelson Cruz and Polanco. I know they were very deep. I mean, they had five guys hit 30 or more homers, but something about Kepler that year and the breakout that he had out of the leadoff spot, setting the tone a lot of nights, I think solidified him, if he wasn't already, as a fan favorite and a guy that I love too. You know, I love watching Max Kepler play. I think when he goes on these runs, he's really tough to get out. Like, he takes great at-bats. I think recently he's taken really great at-bats before this Yankees series, getting his pitch, driving it to right field, going the other way a little bit. I think he has, you know, he's very athletic. I think he's a good hitter when he's on those stretches, but he just overall this year, you look at the numbers and you say, wow, Max Kepler's hitting .204 in 367 plate appearances, on base percentage .300, and he's slugging .423. OPS is right at league average, 101, so 1% better than league average. But the thing about OPS plus when I talk about it in that context, as I do a lot, 100 being league average OPS, any number above or below as a percentage point above or below league average, a point of on-base percentage is more valuable than a point of slugging percentage, just the math of it. Slugging is just higher, and so it's kind of ugly math. So Kepler, yeah, you look in the surface, you're like, oh, he's been a league average hitter this year. 300 on-base percentage, hitting .204. It's just hard for me to look at that and say he's a league average hitter, because you look at another guy, you know, even Trevor Larnach, who on the season OPS plus of 90, but an on-base percentage of .322, even though he went through that terrible stretch. And it does matter that Kepler hits home runs. It matters that he has 16 homers, 16 doubles, 3 triples. That keeps him above water. But a .300 on-base percentage is just untenable for a corner outfielder at this point. I don't care how good his defense is. His defense is really good, and I've talked very highly of his defense in the past and frankly talked highly of him in the past. But he just doesn't – he's not doing enough. He's not doing enough to warrant a starting position in right field. 1.1 wins above replacement this year, barely above replacement level. Like, that's not the guy that we thought we had. You know, that's not the Max Kepler that I thought he was. I mean, maybe 2019 was an aberration. I mean, at this point, it's hard not to believe that it was. You look at Max Kepler's career, and yeah, he's been around this for a lot of his career. I mean – you look at 2019, and it is the odd year out for a lot of guys just around Major League Baseball. Jorge Polanco has shown that it wasn't an odd year for him, which is great because he's having a big-time season. But for Kepler, I mean, whew, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds for him. Hasn't been good. Speaking of Jorge Polanco, hitting .273, .333 on base, slugging .485, OPS is 27% above league average. He's been outstanding, 22 homers, 25 doubles, 2 triples. That doesn't even include how good he's been in big spots. He's driven in 71 runs this season. Jorge Polanco, 38 walks, 83 strikeouts, 217 total bases. Polo, awesome season. Awesome, awesome season. If you point to one guy on this whole team at the end of the year and say, wow, he really stuck out as a huge positive, it's Jorge Polanco. And I don't want to rip Luis Arraez either, because he's been great, hitting .312, on base .378, slugging .403. His OPS is 21% above league average. .378 on base percentage is so valuable. And I think that is, you know, another takeaway that I have from Louis, because I don't think he's been fully healthy for a lot of the year. He's only played 87 games this year, 347 plate appearances, but when he's played, it's been so good. 33 walks, 34 strikeouts. Polanco and Arraez are the two standouts offensively. And Josh Donaldson statistically is having a better season, you know, just OPS-wise than Luis Arraez, hitting .245, on base is just .346. That's still good. You know, he's slugging .452. The difference for JD is he has missed chunks of time. He's played 97 games, but the difference for him is in the big spots, you know, and that usually will even out over a full season. But what we've seen from him this year is that he's just not getting it done in those big spots when he needs to get it done. You know, it's not, it hasn't happened as consistently with him as you would like. And even then, like, he has a 730 OPS with runners in scoring position, but he's slugging just 385 in those spots. You got to get that back up. Two outs, runners in scoring position. He's 4-for-28 with two doubles and only seven driven in, hitting 143, 464 OPS. Just not good. You know, not good enough for a guy who needs to be driving in runs. Now, in high leverage spots, those numbers look good. He's hitting 309, OPS 972. So it goes back and forth. I think I'm thinking a lot of the double plays and how he has left opportunities on the table, but the overall line looks pretty decent for Donaldson. Let's talk about the others and the staff after the break. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well. And these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs for a type 1 diabetic like me. That is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, the NBA, the NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. That's promo code locked on. Promo code locked on. LOCKEDON. All one word for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Miguel Sano, it's always odd. Like, you look at the overall numbers, and they don't look bad. You know, he's slugging 457, OPS 765. He's been 12% above league average, but it's very similar to Kepler. On base is only 308. He's hitting 217. And Sano has these peaks and valleys. He's been good recently, but went through a bad stretch after a really good stretch, and we know how that goes. It's just what happens in between those big stretches. And a lot of times the overall line at the end of the season is going to look okay. Miggy, I mean, I want to see what he does. He's one of the guys, like, I want to see what he does with the last month and change before I make a judgment call on him for next year. And I think that's probably fair to do with Kepler, too. We'll see what happens. But Miggy's got an interesting line, and always does. It's always interesting with him. Andrelton Simmons talked about a lot. 218 batting average, but a 281 on base percentage. He's slugging 276. Talk about OPS plus, 59. It's just 41% below league average, and we knew he wasn't going to bring a big bat. Andrelton Simmons doesn't even have 100 total bases in 104 games. He's got 94 total bases. I mean, that's insane. That's so low for a shortstop in today's game, and I think the times are changing. Shortstop offensive bar is a lot higher. You see a lot of superstars at short that have raised that bar, and the value of having him goes down because not only is his defense, I mean, he's been decent, but it's definitely not where we expected it to be. You have other shortstops hitting the lights out of the ball. You know, you got new stars coming up every day playing shortstop. Now, Wander Franco, you already have, you know, the Trevor Stories, the Carlos Correa, Francisco Lindor, all these guys, so many star shortstops that can hit. Fernando Tatis Jr., Bo Bichette, so many of them, Xander Bogaerts, the list goes on, that having him and his bat is such a net negative for them. And I can't say enough about how bad Andrelton Simmons has been all year for the Twins. The pitching staff, it's hard to find a ton of positives here. Actually, Tyler Duffy, 3.55 ERA, nothing close to what he's been the last 2 years for the Twins. 39 strikeouts and 45 and two-thirds, not good. Kale Theobar is a good success story out of the bullpen. You know, 114 ERA plus has been solidly above league average as a, you know, middle to late inning reliever against mostly left-handers. Alexander Colomé ended up pushing the lineup. 4.24 ERA overall, just a disaster for him, but a good stretch recently. And just you look at these numbers, and 100's league average for an ERA plus as well. So the guys that they have that are at a league average or better ERA, they have five. It's Taylor Rogers, who I think is out for the year or close to it. Jose Berríos, who they traded. Tyler Duffy, who's gotten out of more jams. I mean, he's got 26 walks and 45 and two-thirds. Caleb Thielbar, which I said, good. Michael Pineda, 1% above league average, out for the season, it sounds like. And then you get into everyone else. Alexander Colomé, Bailey Ober, Kenta Maeda, Hansel Robles, Jorge Alcala, Griffin Jacks, Jay Happ, Randy Domnak, Matt Shoemaker, all below league average in terms of ERA this year. And you look at, like, is it bad luck? Maybe some of it, but you look at the fielding independent pitching numbers, which tries to quantify, like, what your ERA should be, and even those numbers are way too high. Like, the leaders, Rogers, Theobar, Berríos again, but Duffy's jumps up to 409, and then everyone else is above 4. And it's just, like, the pitching's been so bad, and really no one, I'd say, outside of Rogers and Berríos was good before he was traded, has pitched up to the level that we thought they would this year. That, at least that I thought. Like, maybe you thought this staff sucked. I don't know. After the last 2 years, I don't know how you could think that. But no one, maybe outside of a few guys, has pitched the way that I thought they would this year. I think the way that the Twins thought they would. It's been just such a disappointing season for so many guys. And I don't want to link in Ober and Jackson to that, the rookies, because they pitched well recently, and they're rookies. You know, they're learning, but it's the veterans, man, that we know about. And even Jorge Alcala, who I thought was going to have a really nice year, been up and down and mostly bad. It's just, it's really disappointing. And every time you look at the numbers, it's hard not to just be like, whoa. Like, you look at the whips, too. Everything's just so high. Everyone's whip is high. Even, like, when you talk about Tyler Duffy, he's got the fourth highest whip on the team, even though he's got the third best ERA. Like, that just shouts good luck at you right in your face. It's crazy. And, you know, they have a lot of work to do. And this weekend against the Yankees did affirm that they have so much work to do. I've never felt this year, and it's been a bad year. I mean, they started 14-28. They looked awful. The injuries, the bullpen meltdowns, everything that we've gone through this year. I've never felt like they're further away from winning next year than I did after this weekend against the Yankees. There's just nothing there. They had the offense shut down. The pitching was awful, as it has been for a lot of the season. And it felt really dire. It just didn't feel like they were anywhere close. And, you know, John Smoltz is saying on the broadcast, can't be too discouraged if you're a Twins fan. It's hard not to be, I think, when you watch how far away they are from the Yankees, not even the best team in the American League. And, you know, flip side of the coin is they beat the Rays in a series. They beat the White Sox in a series. They ended up going 6-13 against the White Sox this year, though, so I don't know how much that last series means. The White Sox were sitting starters. They beat Cleveland in a series. You know, they've played well against Cleveland. They beat the Astros in Houston. Again, Astros without Bregman. I don't think Altuve played in a couple of those games either, but you'll take those. It just, after this weekend, it felt like they really are super far, and that sucks. We'll talk tomorrow. Twins going to Boston. Fenway, Tanner Houck, Nick Pivetta, and Chris Sale awaiting them. Who knows with this rotation? I think it'll be Ober, Jackson, maybe Barnes again, but I would not like to see Barnes again. Thanks for listening today. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at LockedOnTwins. Go Twins, man. Try to keep your head up. I'm certainly trying, but you know, when you get crushed by the Yankees over and over, you lose a little bit of that optimism. But I'll be back tomorrow. Join me then.